Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, August 22nd, 2016, and I am starting off this week. Actually, I'm running the whole week with a bunch of really awesome people. I am interviewing musicians that in various ways have ties to the Apple community, and I couldn't think of anyone better to start the week with than Dave Wiskus from Airplane Mode. So Dave, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. That intro music, man, there's some wah going on there.
Yeah.
It was a little, dare I say, sexy.
You know, Brian Chaffin wrote that for me.
That's great.
So, of course, there's some sexy happening right in there. and I'm glad it's cool music, because I listen to it every single day, every single week. So, yeah. So, I'm glad it's good music. And Dave, I'm so glad that you are here. And I wanted to have you here because you've made this really cool transition. You used to be an iOS designer.
Yeah.
And you have moved on from that, and you are now a professional musician.
It's shocking to think that anybody could be a professional musician in 2016, but here we are.
Yeah, but here we are. And your albums, do you consider them albums or EPs?
I mean, well, both can be true. I would say EPs, but they're also albums. I don't know. It's tricky. It's
fuzzy. You know what? I'm going to go with albums because I like how it sounds. So
the word I always use is records, but it all means the same thing pretty much.
Okay. Well then today they're records. So I've listened to your records.
Thank you.
And I really enjoy your music.
Thank you again.
So I
will get you everywhere.
So I hear. Yeah. And apparently it got you a small modicum of royalties because you know, I've been following what you've been doing for a while, and as your records would come out on the iTunes store, I'd be like, I have to buy these. I need to support cool musicians, and I'm glad I spent the money because I really like your records.
We definitely appreciate it.
Now, I know what your music is like. I know what you're doing, but that doesn't mean everyone that's listening to the show does. So for everyone else, fill them in. Tell me some about your music and what Airplane Mode does. I'm also curious why you decided to go with the name Airplane Mode.
I'll start with that last bit.
Okay.
I get this a lot. And I think it's really easy to make the connection with our ties to the iOS Apple community and the band thing. And I think for a lot of people, the name sort of sends a signal that maybe we're like a novelty band or a joke band. In that way, I regret it a little bit. The name really came out of, I used to travel all the time for work. And when I was on the plane and didn't have Wi-Fi access, that's when I would write lyrics. When everything else around me is shut down, I can't distract myself with all these digital signals, I would just sit there and write. And so for the earliest demos, the earliest days of me working on the stuff that became Airplane Mode, I just used it as a joke. It was like the name of the folder that I could file this stuff away in. And it kind of stuck.
You know, I'll admit, when I first heard the name, my assumption was that it was totally a play on iOS and the iPhone, and that you were trying to make that link. But you know, now that I have the whole story, I totally get it. And actually, it's kind of cool because there's an interesting background to why you ended up with that name.
I think maybe once a week or so, I'll get a mention on Twitter, or somebody will point out to me a conversation between people where somebody says, Airplane Mode would be a great name for a band. And then, of course, I get looped into this. It's like, hey,
it already is.
I felt the same. There's a few reasons why it might not have been the smartest. I think that creating a link within the community, ultimately, I don't think that the extent of our audience is going to be just people who work on iPhone software. Not that I have anything, obviously, against people who make iPhone software, but when you make art, when you make music, hopefully you can find a broader audience. I think that whenever it comes up with people outside of the development community, they just love the name. People dig the name. And so that's cool. The downside, though, creating a link in the minds of the people that I sort of already know, or the people who might already follow me on Twitter as a result of things that I've worked on, there's also a problem of, man, other people, a lot of other people have thought this was a good idea for a name, and we've had to fight a couple of battles over it.
Well, on one hand, that sucks because you're having to fight these battles. On the other hand, that's kind of validation for the name.
Maybe. We just went through a thing where some guy on SoundCloud was trying to use the name, and we have a trademark. Mm-hmm. I have a piece of paper sitting a few feet away from me with a nice gold seal on it from the Patent and Trademark Office saying that we get to use this name. And so as part of that, if you're not familiar with trademark law, in order to maintain, to keep your trademark, you have to defend it.
Right.
I don't get to look the other way. And so when these things come up, other musicians who maybe don't know a lot about trademark law get very upset with me as if I'm attacking them at an artistic level. And in this particular case, somebody on SoundCloud was using the name. I warned them, they did nothing, and then I had to have SoundCloud take the name away from them, and then they had all of their friends spend a few days leaving angry, angry, nasty comments on our SoundCloud page and sending me some very verbose, angry emails.
Yeah, that kind of sucks. But
so, I mean, the good news is it's not that much different from when you're dealing with awful reviews for an app. So maybe in that sense, there's many things we could talk about. There's many things about working on software that helped to prepare me for this.
And we may hit some of those things, but what I want to know right now is more about Airplane Mode, the band.
Right. So you'd asked about the music. I think the simplest explanation is, and what I always say to people, we're a dance rock band. We're a party band. Our first record was a little bit mopeier, and I think it was sort of, we picked songs that went together thematically, but it wound up sounding sadder than we meant it to, and our color scheme at the time was like all blacks and whites and grayscale. Mm-hmm. And even the album artwork looks a little down, and so I think people thought that we were kind of like, I don't know, emo rock kind of a thing. With the second record, we tried to intentionally swing wildly in the other direction. Say, no, what we're all about is we want songs, we want rock music you can dance to. So think The Killers, think OK Go, think Walk the Moon. Like that's sort of where we want to be musically.
Okay, and so that would be This Is My Circus, This Is My Monkey, right?
Yeah. Well, the official title is just Circus Monkeys, but it came out of a running joke, because there's this Joe Czaplinski, our bass player. He's of Polish descent, and he and I were in Warsaw a couple years ago. And this has been sort of a recurring thing about the Polish expression, not my circus, not my monkeys. And then I won't go into the whole thing, but it sort of became a band running joke. This is my circus. These are my monkeys.
Okay.
But that title is way too long to fit comfortably on an iPhone screen when you're listening to a record. So we just shortened it down to Circus Monkeys.
Okay. And but I noticed the smaller words when I first looked at the album art, hence me going with the entire phrase.
Yeah, I that's totally valid. It's kind of what we were hoping people would do.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, it worked. And yeah. Now that you've given me more of a description, or more of your feel of the two albums, I totally get it. You're right. Circus Monkeys does feel a little more upbeat, but it's not like when I'm listening to the first album, which I just forgot the name of. I'm sorry.
Amsterdam.
Thank you. It's not like I listen to that and think, wow, I just want to go cry in beer. It's still a fun album. I really like both of them.
It's I think the first one just a little bit more, the back half of it, I guess, because there's only four songs and two of them are fairly upbeat, but the other two are fairly down. And I guess the reason that those songs were grouped up the way they were is because they were four songs about a trip I took to Amsterdam. They tell the story of what happened with the girl that I moved to Amsterdam for. And that works at an artistic level, but as a listening experience, it can be kind of up and down, and that's not maybe necessarily the direction we should have gone, especially as a first effort.
Yeah, well, it seems to have worked out because you're already on to your second, and I've noticed something about the way the band is doing things lately, and And correct me if I'm wrong, it looks to me like you're getting more into video content.
We are all in on video.
Oh, so I picked up on that.
I don't think I'm going to surprise anybody by saying there's not a lot of money to be made in records. The record industry, it's eaten itself alive. I mean, if you're Taylor Swift, you're going to sell records, and good for you. If you're Beyonce, if you're Kanye, if you're Adele, you're going to sell records, good for you. You'll notice, by the way, that most of those artists are women, and we can come back to that, because that's interesting.
That is interesting.
But for rock bands especially, nobody's making any money. And notoriously, rock bands get an awful deal from record labels. They have now what they call the 360 deal, where it used to be, yeah, you'd sell your soul to the record company on records, but you'd make all your money in touring and merchandise anyway. Mm-hmm. Well, now with these 360 deals, you're signing all of it away. And the record company will get you a bigger tour, and they'll get you better merchandise, but you're going to be at least $1 million in debt to them by the end of your tour, if you're lucky. And that's crazy.
That's insane. Yeah.
They've taken away every opportunity because they realized, wait, records aren't making any money either. In order to sign these people, now we need all of this stuff. And that's not fun for the musician. So we're in a position now as a band that we're just never going to really make money on Spotify. It can be 1,000 people every week listen to our songs. 1,000 pennies every week is not enough to pay for anything. I mean, not really. Especially when we've got 4 people in the band. So we've sort of...
No, that's not even a Starbucks for everyone once a week.
We've acknowledged that that's just not a good path forward. Especially being the kind of band we want to stay independent. We don't really want to sign with a record label. For us... We realized, because my other job that I've been doing for a couple years now is I run this little production company called Standard Broadcast, working with podcasters and video people and setting up sponsorship for their shows. And what I realized was that we'll never make money as a band, but if we were to do a podcast about a band, like what it's like to start an independent band in New York City in this modern era, we could get listeners and we could sell sponsorship to that. And so we did, and we worked with Hover. They were our first sponsor buy-in. They set us up, took really good care of us. And we did a 10-episode run of a podcast. It didn't quite catch on the way I'd hoped. I think partially because our audience is, at the time, was a very tech-focused audience, and something that was a little bit more... The perception was that this was more hobbyist than anything else. Mm. So we moved on from there, and we did some other kinds of things, lots of little experiments with different sponsors. And we realized as Standard Broadcast started working more on the video side, there's really not that much difference between a 3-minute educational video about building a ladder to space and a 3-minute music video that is designed to be entertaining in some way. And so we started talking to sponsors about, hey, if we were to make a music video, just like any of these other YouTube videos that you sponsor, we make a music video, we get this many people to watch it, and it costs you this much money. And they're like, it's just a YouTube show. Well, sure, we'll sponsor that. If you get views, we'll sponsor that. And we've sort of accidentally backdoored our way into or around the music industry. Now we're doing this more on the podcast and video sponsorship model, which is pays way better than record sales. Even if we were signed to a major label, we're still making more now. Not that we're making a fortune, but we're still doing better now than we ever would on a major label. The only real difference is that on a major label, we would get exposure that we don't currently have. And so what we're trying to do is, if we were to ever sign with a major label or any kind of label, we want to be in a position to where we control our future. Right now, when we make a music video, the deal we make is that company, whoever the company is that's sponsoring that episode, gets sponsorship of that episode. They don't own our masters. They don't own royalties. They don't own songwriting rights. They don't own publishing rights. They only have the guarantee that they will be the sponsor for that episode of a show. It's very different from how music typically works, but it's worked out really well for us.
Well, it sounds to me like this is more of the way that internet video production is working. And like you said, this isn't so, from that perspective, this isn't so much about making music videos. This is about a video production.
Right. And the hype way of pitching this is to say that we're inventing a new way to make money as independent musicians. The truth is, this has been here since the Renaissance. Like, somebody paid Da Vinci to do the Mona Lisa. Like, this is an ages old business model. We're just sort of readapting it. We're going back to it because we think it works better than trying. But people don't, it's not that people don't value music. It's that people don't need to. When you can go to YouTube and any song you can think of, you can type in, you can watch the video or listen to the song for free. You go to Apple Music and you spend your $10 a month. You get to listen to as many songs as you want. Spotify, SoundCloud, you know, all these different things. Where's the incentive to pay for a record? Unless you know the person or you really love the band. And we have those fans. We have people who buy our records, and we're very grateful for it. And we do not wish to diminish that value at all. We're just acknowledging that if we want to keep doing this, we've got to think a little bit bigger.
Which makes sense. And I'm assuming with the way the market is changing, the people that are on the leading edge coming up with these new ways or figuring out that the really old ways are still really good are going to be the vanguards and are more likely to be the successful groups.
One would hope. I mean, you've got, look like Pomplamoose. They've been doing stuff on YouTube for years and doing very well. Mm-hmm. Jack Hunt with Patreon. Great example. Mm-hmm. You look at a band like OK Go. They are sort of the original viral music video band. This isn't, it always feels disingenuous to say we're inventing something. It's sort of like we're reinventing something or we're rediscovering something, trying to adapt, I guess.
I like adapt.
This is where the world is. This is where we need to go. And it's always so weird to talk about it in these terms because it feels kind of clinical. It feels kind of businessy. And rock and roll is not supposed to be businessy.
And yet, without that businessy part, we wouldn't have rock and roll.
I think that the businessy part, the lack of understanding of the businessy part, is kind of what put the music industry into this position to begin with. It was people who were so interested in being big, rich, famous rock stars that they're willing to sell all the rights to everything to get there. And not a lot of business savvy going into the deal, so you know, the sort of snowballs, and then now the record labels have all the power in the relationship. But I think that is now kind of, it's teetering the other way, and the record labels act as if they have all the power, but they don't really have the power. I can put my record up on iTunes tomorrow. I can have if I want to spend the money, I can get radio distribution. If I want to have something go viral on YouTube where people watch music videos now because MTV doesn't play them,
right,
then that's up to me to make something that goes viral. You don't have one single machine that turns all of this over. So when you see artists like Adele or Taylor Swift or Katy Perry or Beyonce, a lot of the machinery that makes those artists as big as they are is they're not really selling the music anymore. They're selling pop culture. They're selling personalities. They're selling a brand. And I think we think that the best path forward for an independent band in 2016 is to embrace the way the world is, which means you can't just be an artist anymore to be a successful musician. It's one part art, it's one part technology, and it's one part business. And unless you understand all three, you're doomed to either obscurity or having to get a day job.
And I'm assuming you'd rather just be able to be the artist. Well, no, let me rephrase that. I'm assuming you'd rather be able to do all of this and not have to go and get a day job.
Right, right. Like that line in Pulp Fiction. So what then? Day jobs? Not in this life.
Yes.
That's it's at the end of the day, it's about finding ways to make sure that you get to keep doing the thing that you love doing.
And I'm so glad that's the line you were going for, because I was kind of worried the line was going to be, get my wallet out of the bag. Anyhow, we are almost out of time, but there's something else I wanted to ask you about. And this comes from the fact that I know that you have a concert here in Denver on Wednesday. So it's Wednesday evening, so it would be the 24th at Herman's Hideaway.
Herman's Hideaway. I think we go on at 10, I think.
All right.
We're playing with some friends of ours, a band called The Outer Vibe, which I got to so strongly recommend anybody. If you like music that is a little bit dancey, a little bit surfy, they describe themselves as surf disco. You got to check them out. They're really good.
Well, I'm planning on being at the concert because the opportunity to get to see you perform live is just going to be great. So the thing I'm curious about, you do tour because you are not a Colorado-based band. You're out of New York?
Yeah, we're out of New York City, New York's Lower East Side, Manhattan.
So what's touring like for you?
Sporadic. I think if we were a little bit more organized, we would just get a van and go hit a bunch of shows. But it's kind of, we'll get invited to come play a place, or sometimes it's like there's a tech conference and they want to have a band play the party and they ask us to do it. And it used to be we would just say yes to any of that because any excuse to go play was great. And if somebody else is covering the cost to get there, even better.
Sure.
Lately, our manager has been very against us doing that, trying to get away from the image of being an Apple community novelty band and trying to be a little bit more, again, not that there's anything wrong with the Apple community. It's nothing to do with that. It's more about trying to reach a larger audience.
Sure.
And so things like, we played the Beard Bash at WWDC this year. And the reason I was able to get our manager to not shove me off of a building over that was because of the size of the venue and the number of people that were going to be there and like sort of the prestige of it. And it's a funny thing to have to worry about this stuff. Sometimes I don't like having to worry about those kinds of things, but you know, it's the business side of it. So we did a lot of like around a tech event kinds of things. We're doing another one in September. There's a Tri-Swift conference that's happening here in New York City, and we're going to be playing a party there. That was an easy one because Natasha, who's running the show, is just an amazing conference organizer. We love that it's a conference being organized by, I hate even saying this, I hate that it has to be called out, but you know, it's not just another white dude running a conference kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to embrace that a little bit, and it's right in our backyard. So it was a really easy thing to say yes to. For touring, like we just played a show in Boston, and that was about just going and playing a show in Boston. Sometimes it's cool to say that you've been to a place and maybe go find a couple of new fans. While we were there, our van got towed while we were here after the show. And somebody that we'd never met before, some guy who had never heard of us, he was there to see another band, but he loved us. And he was outside chatting with us when we found out the van got towed. He drove our drummer over to pick the van up and was, you know, hugely supportive and jumped in to help. And those are experiences that you can't get when you play the same city over and over again. Also, at a certain point, when you play one city over and over, you sort of, it's not a fatigue thing, I guess, but it's you just, how often can you get your fans to come out and see you?
Yeah, that's a good point. And you're not going to grow your fan base if you're playing for the same group of people all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So when we're in New York, our expectation is we're probably going to be playing to a room that is, you know, some percentage our friends and friends of friends. When we play in other cities, we tend to get more buy-in from people who are outside of our bubble, which is always really cool. So we see touring as us going out and meeting new people, and playing New York is more, because New York City crowds, the music scene here is tough. Mm-hmm. And the clubs here, the way they book is that they book bands that have a draw, and the promoters, the concert promoters, will book bands and then do nothing to promote, which is kind of a bummer. It used to be that you'd have clubs that would book bands that were interesting together. So when you come see band one, you stay for bands two, three, and four because you like that kind of music. And now, like, we play shows here where the band after us is like a hip hop band. Huh. And that's cool, and we'd love to check that out, but not everybody who's there to see us wants to stick around and see them, and not everybody who's there to see them wants to see us. And so it's a bit tricky here in the city. When we travel around, we find that other cities, especially Boston, was really good to us. They put us on a bill with bands that sounded kind of like us, and the people really responded well. When we played in San Francisco, we did well, and I expect Denver will be a similar story. But it's all still so early days. We're kind of figuring this stuff out as we go, and mm-hmm. I try to sound like I know what I'm talking about, but God, I'm making this up as I go along.
And that's okay, because it's sounding really good. And we are out of time, so we're going to have to wrap up.
We barely even talked about music, man.
I know. We were just getting I know. We were just getting warmed up. And I know that's how it's going to be every day this week, because everyone is just so cool and so interesting to talk to. But I want to make sure everyone puts it on their calendar. If you are around Denver, Boulder, Fort Collins, Colorado Springs, just come up. on the 24th to Herman's Hideaway and see Airplane Mode live. And I'm planning on being there. So, so come say hi to me too.
And make a thing out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It can and be a thing.
If you're around for 360 iDev and you like Joe Chaplinsky's talk, he'll be there playing bass, and we'll be hanging out with people. We'll be grabbing drinks. We'll be chatting. We'll be doing the whole thing. We really like talking to people who are into music. So please come up and say hi. If you ever see us anywhere, please come up and say hi. It's always great to talk to folks. One thing I'll say is, mm-hmm. if you'd like to be sure that you want to come see us play, go to our website and watch the videos, listen to songs there, and figure out if we're the kind of thing you like.
And of course, I'll make sure there's a link to the band website in the show notes, so it'll be very easy for everyone to find.
Dave, well, I'm going to say it anyway because excited. I'm so excited that we finally got it. Airplanemode.com.
That's pretty awesome.
That's been years in the making to get that from the person who had it. And we finally worked out a deal that everybody was happy with. So I am so thrilled to say you can find us at airplanemode.com.
That's awesome.
It used to be airplanemo.de, which is clever when you're typing it out, but God, it's hard to say at a show.
Yeah, airplanemode.com. That's a lot easier to say.
Yeah, if you like dancey, happy, fun rock music, and you like fluorescent lights and light up balloons and glow sticks and that sort of thing, it's a party. Come see us. Come hang out.
Awesome. Well, I feel like the show today was a party as well. So thank you, Dave, so much for being here.
Thank you, Jeff. Yeah, I look forward to seeing you next week.
I'm looking forward to it also.
And I mean this week, because today is Monday.
That's right. Well, I live in this kind of nonlinear, wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey thing. So we may very well be recording this after we've already done it. I don't know. But regardless, I'm looking forward to seeing you play live.
It's currently mid-October.
Perfect.
Yeah, can't wait to see you there.
All right. And listeners, thank you for joining us. I have more bands or more artists coming up for the whole rest of the week. So stick with me. This is going to be a lot of fun. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.